100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge. That's where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. No more excuses this week for the poor audio quality. I'm just gonna wing it. It is what it is. The topic this week was thumb. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, Lizzie Goodcough. Lizzie, tell me a story.
He twiddled his thumbs impatiently. That rule of thumb everyone kept referring to in the local contest was bollocks. Thumbs down to that, he thought. As he thumbed through the plant's catalog, it was pretty obvious. It stuck out like a sore thumb. His green thumb was the envy of the whole village. Yes, he always thumbed his nose at the whole commotion and never accepted to be under anyone's thumb. So, it was time. He decided to simply thumb a ride out of there and start somewhere else, where thumbs would not even be mentioned. Thumbs up to that. And this was my story for the week. I invite you to drop by my blog, lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
And thumbs up to you, Lizzie. Thank you. We got another story coming up here from... Whoa, Guard13007 is back. Cool. Well, Guard, tell us a story. We're all ears. Well, we're actually all thumbs.
I twiddle my thumbs and pretend I'm not late, but I'm really quite upset. Hi, this is Guard13007 again. Finally. Several weeks, maybe months, late, probably months, because I am slow and unpredictable and etc. like that. So, here's my crappy little story. I haven't written anything in a long time, so it's going to be even worse than usual. There was once a little girl named Jane. They told her she lived a fairytale life and had a green thumb. She was a young servant girl that did not hold back her dreams. Jane knew with all her heart that she would one day rise to rule them all. Then came the day where she thought she'd get her magic wand or something else to change her life. Nothing special happened on that day, so she grew quite sad. She had nothing left but her green thumb. Now she uses it to scare away others and get free food. So yeah, that's an example of a happy ending. Not really. And, I think the link and the plug I'm going to drop you with for this week is youtube.com/guard13007 and on Twitter as @guard13007. Because I'm like that. Oh yeah, and no matter what, I won't be here for next week and maybe the next week after that, I don't know. I'm going to Colorado away from the internet on a ranch. It's going to be fun! I'm going to get bitten by ticks and get Lyme disease. Yay!
Sweet! I'm totally envious of you. Getting away from the internet, that is. The Lyme disease and that... I don't know, that could be exciting. Oh, thank you, Guard, and stay safe. Next up, we have Thomas. He's got two stories. Oh, cool. All right. Although you... Wait. No, he's got two stories. Okay, and I'm going to hit play right now.
Thumb. Fran had a green thumb. Each of her children were under her thumb, raising kohlrabi for the local markets. The children spent hours thumb wrestling in the greenhouse. Her eldest, Ascendi, was all thumbs and had no interest in the family business, so she thumbed a ride to the city where she earned cash drawing thumbnail sketches for a web designer. Her thumbs opposed her, so she had to overcome her disability. Each sketch grew more complex, getting a deserved thumbs up from the director. Ascendi applied all the rules of thumb she knew to produce work faster and more diligently. Thumbelina had wild adventures with marriage-minded toads, moles, and cockchafers. She was very, very tiny, frail, and hunchbacked. She had to defend herself with her pal, Tom Thumb, and an assortment of supernatural beings her father put in her hands as her creator. Her father, Hans Andersen, was a shoemaker and part-time author, writing hundreds of drabbles for the entertainment of the other Danes. He sang and recited until he turned 14, escaping to New Zealand, where he took up with a band of thieves and miscreants, spending his latter teens under the influence of native potions and wild mushrooms.
Thank you, Thomas. Oh, we are just tearing through here, man. It's just some great stories about thumbs this week. Oh, we got one from Chris the Nuclear Kid, too. All right, hold on. No, he didn't send it. You know, he didn't send an audio file, so you know what that means. Come on, midget. It's your time to shine.
I pressed the doorbell and ran to hide behind the bushes. My neighbor opened his front door and looked around with a confused expression on his old, wrinkly face. I stifled a laugh and waited for my neighbor to go back inside. I ran back up and pressed the doorbell again. I yelped in pain as a thumbtack pricked my finger. Apparently, my neighbor had placed a thumbtack on the doorbell when I wasn't looking.
Gotcha! That'll teach you to mess around with a poor elderly man like me!
No, oh, that hurt a lot, I whined.
Oh, you kidder, you. Chris the Nuclear Kid, everyone. Let's all thank him for his advice on playing practical jokes and ways to counter them. Next up, we have Bonchance Longfall and Severina Halo Star, otherwise known as Sevi. So let's go ahead and give them a listen. Man, we got some good stuff this week.
Crap Mariners, 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word, thumb. Two collaborative works by Severina Halo Star, Bonchance Longfall. Thumb. Andrew and Hope had waited desperately for the day they found out they were with child. The injections and constant monitoring was worth it. They saw the test strip turn blue in front of their eyes while they cuddled in bed. Her debut came too early. Anxiety filled the delivery room until little 1-pound Esperanza made her entrance to the world. The day arrived. Esperanza was swaddled in soft brush cotton and placed on Hope's bosom, Andrew protectively watching over. The little babe settled and drew her thumb to her mouth, softly suckling, a sweet gift to her parents. Thumb. Clarence loved to tease Jake, running through the yard, beating Jake to the door and slamming it shut. Clarence would then wriggle his thumbs and point at the doorknob. "I will have a piece of that inbred human," he panted, looking up at his worthless owner. Clarence teased him with his thumbs. The mutt turned his head as his new play buddy came over to see what was happening. Caesar, the spider monkey, glared at Clarence. The deft monkey, smiling a monkey smile, curled his fingers, human-like, around the handle. Jake relished Clarence's look of surprise just before he pounced.
Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi. Man, we got some really good stuff this week. And speaking of good stuff, we got one here from someone new, Leticia Coronet. Oh, this one's going to be awesome, their first one. So let's go ahead and give a warm round of applause for Leticia Coronet. Yeah, it's Coronet, right? I think so. Yeah, it's Coronet. Sometimes I pronounce things wrong, and I apologize if I pronounce anything wrong, except, wait, what the? No, Bruin's coming in for a landing. Okay. So here's Letizia's story.
The big man explained the workings of the machine to Hamid. The Somalian mathematician found his first job in Holland in a factory, stamping pens for aluminum sheets. He was determined to do well. As a rule of thumb, we expect you to stamp out 250 pens per hour, the man said, and Hamid thought, 4.1666 per minute. He kept count of pens and time and found his rhythm. But then his nose itched insufferably. He had to scratch. 3 pens a minute. Then 2. He panicked and started feeding the machine aluminum. Until it caught his thumb.
Oh, no. I hope Hamid is all right. Well, I guess we might find out next week. Thank you, Letizia, and you're always welcome back. Everyone is. Everyone is welcome back, including you. You, the listener. And especially if you're Letizia listening, because then it would be like, welcome back. You're welcome back twice and do 20 stories. Although that might be a little long of an episode. Speaking of 20 stories, Tom manages to pack 20 stories into a single story. He's got updates too, so put on your updates pants. It's time for Tom. Or Tom for time, I'm not sure which.
Hello, night people. Tom here. I've got updates. More writers have been changing places since I started taking stats. Liz passes B into the 44th place. Cliff passes Brad into the 46th place. Beauchamps is tied with Red Goddess in the 43rd place. Tura passes Fricker into the 26th place. Chris the Nuclear Kid passes DJ Terrence and Daphne into the 22nd place. He is 2 stories from entering the top 20. Chris Monroe passes Linda with 34 stories in a row, and next week will pass her into the 17th place. Thomas finally passes Jeffrey into the 13th place, and if he continues his twofers, in 16 weeks he will become our 13th golden monkey. Last but not least, Zachman passes Steve into the 6th place with 145 stories. Story count is at 3,679. Story average is at 11.6. Total authors, 330. And tonight's story is called Small. Outside of Bishopsgate, Timmy lurks. He simmers with a deep hatred for General Tom Thumb. Timmy's career was a lapse by Thumb. Tiny Tim was ill-equipped to compete with the likeness of the general. So in his darkest hour, Tim contrived a plan to gain back his glory and forever besmirch that American upstart. He had learned of Tom's deep-seated fear of rats. One gentle drop into Victoria's coach and bedlam would ensue. Unfortunately for Tim, the coachman swung hard right and knocked him into a second-floor window of bedlam, from whence he was never heard again.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for the updates. They make it into more of a community kind of thing with numbers and metrics and competition and backstabbing and madness and... Oh, never mind. Next up, let's see. Ooh, it's serendipity. All right. Let's see what Serendipity has come up with. Take it away.
The king was a wise and powerful man, just in his judgments, and respected by all. Throughout the empire, his edicts were respected, and his word was law. In fact, whenever any question was in doubt, the people would simply say, "How would the king answer?" In this way, all matters of doubt were resolved. Unknown distances were estimated in king's miles. Sacks of barley were assumed to be a king's hundredweight, and, when planning journeys of indeterminable length, the people would say, "It'll take about a king's hour." Sadly, King Thumb died, and so ended the rule of Thumb.
Serendipity put a note in here. I hope you like it. I did. That was fun. Ah, thank you, Serendipity. Next up, Uncle Monster! It's Cliff! Oh, let's go ahead and just get all gushy over this one. It's going to be so fun. All right, Cliff. All right, just sock it to us.
Jake's Green Thumb by Clifford Lowe. When I was a child, we had a gardener named Jake. He was the quiet sort, always happiest when we left him alone to the lawn and flowers and shrubs. My father always joked that Jake had a green thumb. One day I noticed that Jake really did have a green thumb. His left thumb was deep forest green. I wanted to ask him about it, but father always said to leave Jake alone. Then I saw Jake's thumb fall off. It didn't seem to bother him. I guess that's one of the advantages of having a zombie gardener.
Ew. Thank you, Cliff. Although, how much does it cost to hire a zombie gardener? We could use one we haven't planted yet. And I know it's going to get hot, hot, hot and all that, but still. Can you give me his number? Thank you, Cliff. Next up, it's Muncie! Ooh, I wonder what Muncie's come up with. Of course I know what Muncie's come up with. It's just right here on my screen. Perhaps I should share it with you. No, this is all for me. That would defeat the purpose of podcasting, then. I'm a bad podcaster. I'm going to go away now. Here's Muncie.
And so, May draws to a close, and with it your tenure as Strike Team Alpha. Have you enjoyed your time? I know I have. But now, with this last story, it all comes to an end. Thumbs by Chris Monroe. I've made a movie. Basically, it's about a high school girl who's really into archery, who falls in love with a car that transforms into a giant robot. But at the same time, a pirate, played by Johnny Depp, falls in love with her. And she must make a fateful decision about who to be with before an asteroid collides with the Earth, destroying the world. Nobody's hands have enough thumbs down to review this movie. But that's okay. With the money I've made, I can pay somebody to look me in the eye if I can't do it myself. Flash fiction at munzeestories.blogspot.com. Tweets at munzeemunzee. You're done now, Strike Team Alpha. Go home. Be with your families. For you, the war is over.
Thank you, Muncie. You know, today is Memorial Day, and the war was over for all the people we're asked to remember today. So let's take a moment of silence for all those who have served, well, this country. I know that Muncie is up in Canada, and maybe a few people are from elsewhere, but still, they served you, too. Unless you're from a country that... Well, never mind. Just forget I said any of this. While I'm going to send out pills to erase your minds, maybe I should just edit this out of the podcast. No, I'm going to send out pills. That's easier. And when you get the pills, take them orally and a glass of water. Oh, and you need to fast at least 12 hours before that. Oh, and if you have a history of liver damage or I'm just going to edit the podcast. Next up, we have a first, another first timer. This is great. All right. Well, this one's from Holodoc, otherwise known as Holocluck Henley. And what seems to be the nature of your emergency? Well, you need to listen to this. It's been recorded by a guest reader. I hope you can guess who it is. It's their first time, too.
Holocluck Henley's 100-word story. Topic: Thumb. I thought I could fix my own deadbolt. The lock cost $35, but a locksmith, hundreds. It required firm application of the thumb and bird fingers. Weeks later, a bottle of juice dropped through my hands. Specialists diagnosed it as flexor pollicis longus tendonitis or trigger finger. People with your chronic condition have this tendency. Surgery was weeks away, clever ways to hold the sketch pad or wipe. You learn to miss your thumb and everything it does for you. It's that pincer effect, someone said. It took 10 minutes to fix and worked immediately. Was this worth forfeiting a locksmith?
You know, I can answer that for you, but then I'd be a total know-it-all jerk. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say I agree with you. Thank you, Hollow Cluck and Mystery Guest Reader. And please, please come back. Please come back. All these regulars are driving me nuts. I mean, oh, hi, regulars. Thank you for coming back, everyone. Hey, here's Norval Joe. See? He's coming. Man, I keep forgetting the first rule of holes. Oh, well, here's Norval Joe. I need to shut up.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at Podiobooks.com. Here it is, Thursday night, and I'm already turning in my story for prompt number 318 with the prompt of thumb. All my friends are going to Balticon, and me, I'm going to Baycon on the other side of the country. So Saturday night, I hope to be deep into a Magic the Gathering tournament they're holding. So I didn't want to risk not turning in my story, so here I turn it in early. I also want to announce that Flying Island Press is going to publish its second benefit issue of Pieces of Eight. This time, the benefit issue will be for teen suicide awareness. And what we'd like to do is have all the stories written by teen authors. So if you know a teen author that might be up for this challenge, have them check out our submission guidelines at flyingislandpress.com/pieces of eight. Here's my story for prompt number 318, thumb. The farmer sat dumbfounded at his table, as if the company crowded into his small sitting room weren't even there. The house shook like a whirlwind danced circles around the clapboard building, and dust drifted down from the wooden slats of the shingled roof. Elbonor swirled his hands in front of him, chanting at the hearth. Shirika formed a triangle, with the forefinger of each hand to the thumb of the other, and whispered through it, facing the door. The door buckled inward as if rammed by a mad bull, but it held. Outside, demons screamed and tore ineffectually at the walls. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Boom chicka 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 boom. Oh, Wiener Dog Man, the Wiener Dog Man. His wiener dogs run just as fast as they can. But stubby little legs was not a good plan. Oh, Wiener Dog Man, oh, Wiener Dog Man. Boom chicka 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 boom.
Psst! Psst, Chris the Nuclear Kid. He's talking to you. Oh, thank you, Norval Joe. And good luck with that issue. Is it an episode or an issue? Or is it a volume? Ooh, a volume of Flying Island Press or a flotilla. That could work, too. Well, whatever it is. Oh, man, we're just burning through these, aren't we? How about we slow things down a little and get a little groovy with Guy David? Oh, yeah.
Ten Thumb Joe, a 100-word story by Guy David. Ten Thumb Joe sat in the bar, drinking his usual poison when Strike Team Alpha walked in. "You've been blowing smoke long enough," they said. "It's time we blow your cover." Back in the hotel, the moon-shaped alert went off and these two lazy bodyguards sprang into action. Hugs and kisses followed. Sensing that he won't get any help from them, Joe muttered, "You are a bunch of sick bastards." The team just smiled and said, "You have been a fool if you thought you could get away with it." What they did to him afterwards rhymes with itch.
Remember, folks, life's too short for boring music. Head over to Guy David's site and catch some interesting tracks you may not have heard. You see, that's a shameless plug. I had to, man. Well, thank you. More stories? Sure, we got a whole bunch this week. In fact, we got one from Logan Berry. Hey, we're just getting them from everyone's coming back. The chickens are coming home to roost, and, well, we should have changed the sheets, and at least there's basic cable. I need to make sure the hot tub is working. We had to close down the swimming pool because some regulations said that we had to have a crane? What the hell do we need a crane for? I don't know. Then they... It's all crazy. I don't understand anymore. Maybe I should just go to work at Home Depot. Here's Logan Berry.
Three Rules of Thumb for Happy Hitchhiking by Logan Berry. If your hitchy is male and pulls over to the side of the road near a picturesque but abandoned farm in rural France, leaves a Citroen and stands at the rear of the vehicle for several inexplicable minutes, do not turn around or look in the rearview mirror. If your hitchy offers to drive you and your co-hitcher a ride to the next town in the middle of the night because the hotel in Skopje was full and you were lost, then stops on the way out of town to pick up a burly friend who needs a shower, do not pretend to be a convent-educated virgins, because that will only encourage them. If your hitchies are nudist organic farmers in Devon who ask you to babysit their three children in a rainstorm while they attend a protest against fruit machines and pubs, do not agree to look at their wedding album in exchange for breakfast.
Thank you, Logan Berry. You know, for the longest time, I didn't know what a fruit machine was. And I thought it was just like, well, it's a machine for fruit. Maybe a blender? Isn't it a blender? Is it a peeler? Is it a... No, it turns out to be a machine made of fruit. You know, look it up in Wikipedia, you Americans. Dang. So, maybe we should make the topic fruit machine. That could be interesting. Oh, no, I've already picked the topic for this week. I'm not turning back! So, I already put all the topics so far in my hat, and I pulled one out, and I said, oh, we'll go with this one instead. I suck. Ooh, we got a third person it's their first time. Wow. This is exciting. We haven't had this many new people since the first time I did the podcast, I think. Well, anyway, this one is Ginger Jorgenthal, and she's one of the many fine people over at Milkwood who do the Daily Dashes. And, this is exciting. It's exciting. They're going to start doing the topics for the weekly challenge on Fridays, encouraging people to make them 100 words long. And they can be found on Twitter. Virtual Writers is their Twitter handle. And I'm going to make that her link. So this is exciting. I'm thrilled. This is cool. So in addition to the weekly challenge, you guys can do that as well. If you're in Second Life, if you're not in Second Life, I put their link up there in the show notes in the upper right corner. I'm going to work on some sort of badge thingy to see if I can get the latest topic. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I barely know how to program. You would think after 20 years of doing web stuff, I'd be like the god of it, but I'm stupid. Here's Ginger and her story. At least I can read, I think. I hope. What are all these scribbles doing on the screen?
My, how I would suck my thumb. When I was small and very young, I'd snuggle a little blankie. It's not odd when you're young to think that a thumb is something worth gnawing on. How grievous to me they should take my blankie and make me disengage from my thumb, for it had become something to rely upon, and was never squirreled too far away. But time came soon when all I could do was learn to sit on those thumbs, sit on my hands, and pretend I had plans, just as my mother intended. Then boredom set in, and I was chagrined to learn that puppets were also a tool, to keep fingers out of my small mouth, because my sitters just couldn't stand it. They'd rotate and shake if my thumb I'd take and offer them a view of my callus, for I had a thumb that was a little numb from all the sucking it got. So finally they put my hands and socks and ozonol on besides, because when you're not two, sucking thumbs is taboo, and I was the saintly age of five.
Thank you, Ginger. I don't see what's wrong with sucking your thumb. I mean, I'm doing it right now. It's perfectly normal. These people are just so judgmental. It drives me...
What? You can't understand me? Oh. Well, thank you, Ginger. God, people are so judgmental. Ugh. I don't know where my thumb's been. Actually, I do. Ugh, that's even worse. Oh, right. We have a story from Zachman. Oh, cool. Wait. Uh-oh. You know, he keeps writing about this person. Never mind. We're going to find out here what he's up to. I wish people would not use my name in stories. Really, it just... Wait, I thought I hit stop. Oh, could you please take that next pill in the packet that I mailed out? Thank you.
I am beginning to suspect that the Crap Mariner is practicing some form of mind control. Lawrence Simeon, who is pictured on this very website next to his typewriter, likely assisted the Crap Mariner in making you think about thumbs this week. It is likely that they also have you thinking about cats. What surprised me is how they got Lawrence Santoro thinking about thumbs, therefore choosing to have 4 a.m. When the Walls Are Thinnest by Allison Littlewood narrated for Tales to Terrify number 20, a story in which Stumpy Ellis tells what happened to his thumb.
I don't know what happened to it. Don't look at me. I'm totally innocent, man. Right. Thank you, Zach, man. Your payment will be in the mail soon. Don't talk to the authorities. Speaking of authorities, an authority on writing and recording is Tura Bregianu. Let's hear what Tura has to say. And, you know, possibly sing. I haven't listened to it yet. This could be in Morse code for all I know. Have we had anyone send in Morse code? No. Or the flags, the flag thing. Whatever that flag, you'd only hear the old whip, 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 whip flags going around. That would kind of defeat the purpose. But still, here's Tura's story in spoken word.
When I were a lad, we had proper black pudding. Dad would clout the piggin' head with hammer, hang it up by hind legs, slit throat and drain the blood into bucket. Us little ones would be set to stirring it with hands and sucking fingers, while they'd throw in lumps of fat and brains and everything. When it had set, our ma would put it through Big Hand Mincer into pig's own intestines. Once she tore her thumb off, but it didn't bother her. She just kept on cranking the handle, and that were the best black pudding ever. And my apologies to the good folk of Yorkshire, whose accent I have just atrociously mangled.
No, that's okay. I can't do that accent either, as much as I try.
I can do your accent with something around. Yeah, Jeez, I should wash my hands more.
Oh, thank you, Tura. I'm going to go wash my hands now, but I'm not going to wash my hands of Steven the Nuclear Man. No, he's firmly in my grasp, and I'm not letting go, ever. That sounds kind of weird. Well, anyway, here's Steven and his story. Everyone, prepare yourselves. Prepare a... Wow. and prepare a salad in advance is what I was going to say, but wow, I just blew that one. Woo! Actually, I've got 4 bags of salad. Kidney beans, black beans, garbanzos, otherwise known as chickpeas, romaine, spinach, red pepper, green pepper, red onion, white onion, and carrot. I don't have any celery in there. No celery this time. And I need to go pick up cilantro when I go to the store tomorrow. And I think that's it. Then I put bacon bits, parmesan, and a little bit of pepper on there. So I have no control. Just, why did I tell you that? I don't know. Here's Stephen.
This week's story is called Purebred. Everyone knew to watch the cats when the animals started to develop thumbs. They didn't watch the dogs. I passed Bob Barker on my way to work, still hanging from the stockade. Someone, probably a radical puppy, pissed on the old man's doomed crotch, shook my head. Rex was at the door and shoved me into my office. A young woman waited, emaciated by a lifetime in the baby mode. Rex and a strange Labrador compared our AKC papers, but we could see each other's bright red hair. Sorry, I said, taking off my shirt, ignoring her tears.
Thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. Ooh. Oh, man. I've wanted to let you all know, those of you all who are in Second Life, I've made some progress on that Second Life 9th birthday build. Added a few more stories to it that you all sent in. There's plenty of room for more because it's a slideshow, textures, copy-paste, add another. Also, if you run a venue within Second Life, I've been putting in posters, note cards, landmark givers, cool stuff. So folks will see, oh, spoken word. And also, if you want to perform your stories or whatever at SL9B, they do have sign-ups for performers. Hopefully you'll have an hour of stuff. Otherwise, get together with some others and, hey, could be a storyteller's circle, you know, kind of thing. Whatever. Speaking of Second Life, Red Goddess, who runs a few events here and there, has a story for us this week. So let's find out what it is. Ooh, I got goosebumps. Or are they swan bumps or duck bumps, or why were they goose? I don't know. I should look that up.
It's official. Spring is here, declares the weather guy. Lola has caught the gardening bug after watching too many DIY landscaping shows. In 1 hour, she can build a lush city garden or bump into a handsome handyman at the home improvement store, like on TV. He will then buy all the plants, come to her apartment with an army of skilled laborers, to transform her asphalt yard while being held in seclusion until the big reveal. Lola is a jack-of-all-trade at her job, but she's embarrassed that she doesn't have a green thumb, like Martha Stewart.
Thank you, Red Goddess. I'm liking this Lola series. I'm wondering when she'll wind up going into space. That might be kind of cool. Lola in space. I've been listening to the John Lovitz podcast after all that controversy and stuff, and I'm listening. And he goes off on his rant, all right, his political rant. But the dude's just some comedian who runs, you know, he got famous and he runs a comedy store. Does it really matter what his views are? I mean, come on. But, you know, what really matters is folks who, oh, I don't know, think and back up their conclusions and stuff, which kind of eliminates mostly everyone. Oh, well. I'm just waiting here for an email, and I'm going to delay release of the podcast. Cersei Broom sent me a note saying, hey, I got a story for this week. And it's like, oh, cool, it's Cersei. And she's been listening and such, and the file was one of those LNK files in Windows. You know, one of those files that are designed to screw people up. And so what I'm going to do is go ahead and get this episode packaged up and posted. Then when I do get the text of Cersei's story, I'm going to go ahead and put that into a weekly challenge after the bell, separate, so that y'all can enjoy that as well. So I'm looking forward to that, Cersei, and I'm really sorry that it didn't get into the main show, but it will get up there, and I'm really, really looking forward to reading it for folks. So, and it's good to hear from you, and you are just, you mean a lot to me, and you mean a lot to a lot of folks, and the fact that, you know, this goofy obsession of mine with 100-word stories is, well, you enjoy it. And it always surprises me that people just get a kick out of this. But coming up on 7 years on Thursday, so let me know when it's ready. So we have one last story this week, and it's by none other than, well, it could be by someone else. No. It's by Planet Z. I'm really, really, really sorry for not deleting this. I should have, but I don't delete anybody's stories. Maybe they get caught in the spam filter, or they just, well, here's the story. I'm sorry.
When I was little, I remember biting my toenails and getting an infection in the corner of my big right toe. The doctor cleaned it out, smeared some goo on it, bandaged it, and warned me about biting my nails. I kept biting them anyway, and suffered infected toenails, fingernails, and thumbnails. Then, 6 years ago, I stopped. I trimmed them with clippers and a nail file. Still, every now and then, I clip them too close, or I peel off a hangnail into the corner, and it's back to the bathroom, where I keep the antibiotic and small bandages.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about thumb. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, where the topic will be 100 miles, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you to listening, and thank you those who have served our country. My country. Mine! Oh, sorry. And, as always, keep it brief.